A few weeks ago, Bishop Jim Swilley stood up in front of his congregation at the Church in the Now near Atlanta. It's one of the biggest churches in Georgia. He got up to get a few things off his chest.
There are two things in my life that are an absolute. I did not ask for either one of them. Both of them were imposed upon me. I had no control over either of them. One was the call of God on my life. The other thing, and I wouldn't have known what to call it at the time, was my sexual orientation.
Jim Swilley, twice married, father of four, a man who comes from a long line of evangelical preachers, the leader of a megachurch, revealed a secret he'd been holding on to most of his life. He's gay. And when I spoke to Bishop Swilley about why he decided to come out, he told me he was encouraged by his ex-wife.
I told my ex-wife about my orientation before we got married, assuming that she would say, all right, well, let's just be friends. But she said, no, let's get married. We'll work it out. And to a degree, we did. I've had 21 years of a very prosperous life, have built a big ministry, raised great kids. But the trademark of our church is real people experiencing the real God in the real world. It's a very unconventional church. I would like to say that I have never, ever once said anything derogatory about gay people or about the gay community. But I never thought that I would deal with it myself. As a matter of fact, I really thought that eventually it would just go away. When I say it, I mean the way that I think, the way that I'm motivated. But close to 2 years ago, she came to me and she said, look, I love you and I'm never going to hurt you with this. And I've always got your back. But you and I both know that we don't have a conventional marriage. You tell everybody else to be real. But she said, you don't allow yourself the same grace that you give everyone else. She said, I think you need to tell everybody what the truth is and let the chips fall where they will. And I said, look, I will never say those words
out loud. You thought you would never do it?
No, because I know the force of homophobia, especially in the church world and the South. But fast forward to a few weeks ago when there was such a spate of teen suicides of young gay kids. And his name escapes me right now. But
Tyler Clementi?
Yeah, the one that jumped off the George Washington Bridge. The reason that one sort of was the tipping point for me is because I would hear people nearly imply that he deserved it. You know,
right.
People would say, well, you know what? He shouldn't have been in an act of perversion, and so it's just as well. And, man, when I started hearing that, especially from people who profess to be Christ-like, I don't know. It's just something changed, and I thought, I'm going
to
tell my church.
You felt
I'm
you tell had them. To take a stand.
I felt like with me not saying at least my little part of it, I end up being part of the problem. And so because of that, I didn't really overthink it. We sent out an email blast, and I said, I need everybody that is curious about what I need to talk about to show up tonight. And they did. And I just told them. And here we are today as a result of that.
How has the congregation been handling the news?
The biggest issue I've had is with the other churches that I cover as a bishop, and a good many of those disconnected from me immediately.
But it must be painful that, you know, some of these churches that you've had this long-standing relationship with just stop returning your calls.
Well, not only returning my calls, but, you know, when you've had a relationship with somebody for 30 years and you've walked with them through thick and thin and you've been there, and then you get like a little two-line letter that says, to whom it may concern, you are no longer my bishop.
Wow.
That's like, wow. I mean, how about even a phone call to say, let me at least hear this? But on the upside of that, if I can try to see that glass half full, I have had people in my church come to me and say, you know, if this had been anybody but you, I would have just had a knee-jerk reaction and not even considered hearing you out. But you've been my pastor for a quarter of a century. I know you. I remember all that we've been through. I remember when you baptized me, dedicated my baby, married us, did my mother's funeral. So if you say that you are and that you believe you were born this way, then that changes everything. It makes me have to go back and rethink all of my prejudices. And so I'm gratified to hear that. You know, maybe at my age, I can say some things I couldn't have said 20 years ago.
Right. You come from a long and distinguished line of famous Southern preachers. One of your kids said Protestant royalty. That's where you come from. Did you feel like when you were growing up, did you feel like you were a sinner most of your life? I mean, as a kid, when you had certain thoughts, did you feel like, you know, this isn't what you were being taught?
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, I'm going to tell you, this is one reason I really bristle at the phrase gay lifestyle, because I know what it's like to, try to change your mind, quote scripture, try to cast out demons that you think are in you, go through.
And did you try when you were a kid?
Oh, my God, nothing I haven't tried. I learned early on in my relationship with God that it was not going anywhere. So not that I consider it necessarily a thorn in the flesh, as Paul called it, but Paul said that he had something, he prayed three times that God would take it away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And so I just sort of left it at that. I thought, all right, this is my deal. I come from a very apocalyptic, end of the world, Jesus is coming back any moment kind of thing. So, I know this sounds crazy to people that weren't raised this way, but I really never thought long term. You know what I mean? I just thought, well, this is all going to be over with soon, and we're all going to be out of here, and I'll go to heaven, and Jesus will fix me. And then as I got more educated and as my theology evolved, I really moved away from that paradigm, and which then, you know, I was faced with this problem, like, okay, I guess I'm going to live out my life. And I've found myself in a situation where I didn't intentionally mean to lie, but I'm living a falsehood. Not like I'm living this life where I'm, you know, leaving my house and going out and finding men. That's never happened. I just wasn't real. You know what I mean? It's like, to me, at this point in my age, this isn't about me even finding somebody. It's about just telling the truth about yourself and having that freedom.
It must have been incredibly liberating to do that.
You know, I told the church the other day, I've never been a good sleeper. I don't know that I would call myself an insomniac, but I'm just not a good sleeper. And man, that night, well, first of all, as soon as the service was over with, people lined up and they were, you know, hugging me and affirming me. Now, I would like to say that in the midst of the service, a lot of people got up and walked out. You know, it was like separating the sheep from the goats sort of thing. Like, okay, well, I see who I've got to work with here. And I went home and laid my head on the pillow and snored for 8 hours. And I woke up the next morning and said, oh, is this what the rest of the world feels like? This is what it feels like to be rested. Wow, I really should have looked into the sleep thing earlier.
I'm speaking with Bishop Jim Swilly. He's the leader of the Church in the Now near Atlanta. It's one of the largest churches in Georgia. On his recent decision to come out to his congregation, do you think that the way you will lead the church and the way you will preach will change? I know you don't want to be known as a gay bishop with a gay church. I mean, will things change?
I can't imagine that it would change that dramatically because I have preached inclusion, and I don't have to go back now and say, hey, all that bad stuff I said about gay people, I take it back. The one thing that I think some people from my sort of background are concerned about, they say, well, you know, I can accept the fact maybe that you were born that way, but you're going to have to live a celibate life and you're going to have to be alone. You can't ever act on it. Here's my take on that. When people say, you know, you've made it okay to be gay now, I think, look, people are gay whether I say they're okay or not. There's no, you know, like straight people aren't turning gay. There's no weird phenomena that's going on. I think some evangelicals think that. They think that there's this thing going on, like a sign of the times, the last days, that straight men are turning gay. And I'm like, no, let me tell you something. Heterosexuality is doing just fine. It's not going anywhere. There's no gay agenda. Nobody's trying to get your children. They're not trying to take over the world. Just, you know, settle down. But when people say, well, you know, you got to tell people that they can't have sex because any sex outside of marriage is fornication, to which I say, all right, well, then let people get gay people get married. Oh, no, they can't get married. Like, okay, well, you're not leaving people a lot of alternative. But as a pastor and as a bishop, my responsibility is not to get all in people's personal lives. You know, Paul said this one thing that I wish every Christian church would just put this on their letterhead. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, your relationship with God is not my relationship with God. And frankly, it's none of my business. So my responsibility is just to preach the gospel and let the gospel do its work. Trust the gospel. Don't worry about it.
Bishop, I know that gay marriage is not legal in Georgia, but if a gay couple asked you to marry them, would you do it?
Well, you're the first one to ask me that. You know, I'm going to have to cross that bridge when I get there. I did tell my church, this is months ago, I was talking about if you're going to be for or against something, at least know why. And I said, take gay marriage, for example. At this point, I'm not really sure what I think about it. This is what I said a few months ago. But I said, if you're going to say that marriage should only be between a man and a woman because marriage is for procreation, I'm going to have to challenge that because most of the couples I marry these days, it's their second or third marriage. They're not planning on having children. If I was going to follow that logic, I would have to do a fertility test on any two people that wanted to get married to make sure they were capable of having children. At the time, I was just really thinking that maybe civil union is the way to go. But someone told me the other day that there's so many more rights that are accessible to married people than are with civil unions. So, you know, I guess I'm having to rethink that. No one has asked me yet. And, you know, I can hide behind the illegality of it and say, well, it's, you know, I can't perform something that's not really legal. But, you know, it would be hypocritical of me to say, yeah, I'm gay, but I'm not going to support gay marriage. So I'm, you know, I'm, look, this is all, saying these things out loud is all new for me. This has all been inside my head for years. So there are certain things I'm having to even decide, well, what's my policy on this now? Because I never even had to think about what I thought about it. I guess, you know, I'll just have to see what happens when somebody asks me.
Bishop Swilly, there's another secret about you that we actually plan to expose here on this program, and here it is.
Is that my son, Jared?
This is the punk band Black Lips with their song Bad Kids, and that's your son, Jared, on lead vocals. How cool is that? I mean, you're an evangelical preacher. Your son's in a pretty hipster band that's getting a lot of attention.
That's cool. My son, Jared, has been such a blessing to me lately, and he, you know, he's on tour. He's out in Europe most of the time, and he's gone and... After I initially told the other three kids, I thought, man, this isn't good that he doesn't know this. So I called him one night. He was at the Paris airport. And I said, if you got a few minutes, I got to talk to you. And he said, yeah, what is it? And I was, you know, I was talking all around it, didn't know how to say it. And finally he stopped me. He said, Dad, are you trying to tell me you're gay? And I said, well, yeah. And man, in his, he's 27, and in his life, he has never talked to me this way. It was like, oh my God, you're my hero. I love you so much. Nothing could ever change that. And he has just been incredibly supportive. And how did you know about that? Investigative reporting.
We got some good investigators here on the staff.
And I have to say, you know, unconventional as he is, you know, he's my beloved son. He's awesome.
That's Bishop Jim Swilly. He's the head of the Church in the Now near Atlanta. Bishop, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Guy. I appreciate it.
And you can hear an extended version of my conversation with Bishop Swilly and see a video of that coming out speech to the congregation at our website, npr.org.